On Patience is the title of the fifth chapter of Charles Spurgeon's book, John Plowman's Talk. On Patience. Patience is better than wisdom. An ounce of patience is worth a pound of brains. All men praise patience, but few enough can practice it. It is a medicine which is good for all diseases, and therefore every old woman recommends it. But it is not every garden that grows the herbs to make it with. When one's flesh and bones are full of aches and pains, it is as natural for us to murmur as for a horse to shake his head when the flies tease him, or a wheel to rattle when a spoke is loose. But nature should not be the rule with Christians, or what is their religion worth? If a soldier fights no better than a plowboy, off with his red coat. We expect more fruit from an apple tree than from a thorn, and we have a right to do so. The disciples of a patient Savior should be patient themselves. Grin and bear it is the old-fashioned advice, but sing and bear it is a great deal better. After all, we get very few cuts of the whip, considering what bad cattle we are, and when we do smart a little, it is soon over. Pain past is pleasure, and experience comes by it. We ought not to be afraid of going down into Egypt when we know we shall come out of it with jewels of silver and gold. Impatient people water their miseries and hoe up their comforts. Sorrows are visitors that come without invitation, but complaining minds send a wagon to bring their troubles home in. Many people are born crying, live complaining, and die disappointed. They chew the bitter pill, which they would not even know to be bitter if they had the sense to swallow it whole in a cup of patience and water. They think every other man's burden to be light and their own feathers to be heavy as lead. They are hardly done by in their own opinion. No one's toes are so often trodden on by the black ox as theirs. The snow falls thickest round their doors and the hail rattles hardest on their windows. And yet, if the truth were known, it is their fancy rather than their fate which makes things go so hard with them. Many would be well off if they could but think so. A little sprig of the herb called content put into the poorest soup will make it taste as rich as the Lord Mayor's turtle. John Plowman grows the plant in his garden, but the late hard winter nipped it terribly so that he cannot afford to give his neighbors a sip of it. They had better follow Matthew 25 and verse 9 and go to those who sell and buy for themselves. Grace is a good soil to grow it in, but it wants watering from the fountain of mercy. To be poor is not always pleasant, but worse things than that happen at sea. Small shoes are apt to pinch, but not if you have a small foot. If we have a little means, it will be well to have little desires. Poverty is no shame, but being discontented with it is. In some things, the poor are better off than the rich. For if a poor man has to seek meat for his stomach, he is more likely to get what he is after than the rich man who seeks a stomach for his meat. A poor man's table is soon spread, and his labor spares his buying sauce. The best doctors are Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merriman. And many a godly plowman has all these gentlemen to wait upon him. Plenty makes dainty, but hunger finds no fault with the cook. Hard work brings health, and an ounce of health is worth a sack of diamonds. It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. There is more sweet in a spoonful of sugar than in a cask of vinegar. It is not the quantity of our goods, but the blessing of God on what we have that makes us truly rich. The parings of a pippin are better than a whole crab. A dinner of herbs with peace is better than a stalled ox in contention therewith. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. A little wood will heat my little oven. Why then should I murmur because all the woods are not mine? When troubles come, it is of no use to fly in the face of God by hard thoughts of providence. That is kicking against the pricks and hurting your feet. The trees bow in the wind, and so must we. Every time the sheep bleats, it loses a mouthful, and every time we complain, we miss a blessing. Grumbling is a bad trade and yields no profit, but patience has a golden hand. Our evils will soon be over. After rain comes clear shining. Black crows have wings. Every winter turns to spring. Every night breaks in the morning. Blow the wind never so fast. It will lower at last. If one door should be shut, God will open another. If the peas do not yield well, the beans may. If one hen leaves her eggs, another will bring out all her brood. There's a bright side to all things and a good God everywhere. Somewhere or other in the worst flood of trouble, there always is a dry spot for contentment to get its foot on. And if there were not, it would learn to swim. Friends, let us take to patience and water gruel, as the old folks used to tell us, rather than catch the miserables and give others the disease by wickedly finding fault with God. The best remedy for affliction is submitting to providence. What can't be cured must be endured. If we cannot get bacon, let us bless God that there are still some cabbages in the garden. Must is a hard nut to crack, but it has a sweet kernel. All things work together for good to them that love God. Whatever falls from the skies is, sooner or later, good for the land. Whatever comes to us from God is worth having, even though it be a rod. We cannot by nature like trouble any more than a mouse can fall in love with a cat. And yet Paul, by grace, came to glory in tribulations also. Losses and crosses are heavy to bear, but when our hearts are right with God, it is wonderful how easy the yoke becomes. We must needs go to glory by the way of weeping cross. And as we were never promised that we should ride to heaven in a feather bed, we must not be disappointed when we see the road to be rough, as our fathers found it before us. All's well that ends well, and therefore let us plow the heaviest soil with our eye on the sheaves of harvest, and learn to sing at our labor while others murmur. On Gossips is the title of the sixth chapter of Charles Spurgeon's book, John Plowman's Talk. On Gossips. In Walton Church, in our county, there is a brank, or scold's bridle, which was used in years gone by to keep women's tongues from troubling their husbands and their neighbors. They did queer things in those good old times. Was this bridle a proof of what our parson calls the wisdom of our ancestors, or was it a bit of needless cruelty? It is nothing, only a woman drowning, is a wicked and spiteful old saying, which, like the bridle, came out of the common notion that women do a world of mischief with their tongues. Is it so or not? John Plowman will leave somebody else to answer, for he owns that he cannot keep a secret himself and likes a dish of chat as well as anybody. Only John does not care for cracking people's characters and hates the slander which is so sweet to some people's teeth. John puts the question to wiser men than himself. Are women much worse than men in this business? They say that silence is a fine jewel for a woman, but it is very little worn. Is it so? Is it true that a woman only conceals what she does not know? Are women's tongues like lambs' tails, always wagging? They say foxes are all tail and women all tongue. Is this false or not? Was that old prayer a needful one? From big guns and women's tongues deliver us? John has a right good and quiet wife of his own, whose voice is so sweet that he cannot hear it too often, and therefore he is not a fair judge, but he is half afraid that some other women would sooner preach than pray, and would not require strong tea to set their clapper going. But still, what is sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, and some men are quite as bad blabs as the women. What a pity that there is not a tax upon words. What an income the queen would get from it, but alas, talking pays no toll. And if lies paid double, the government might pay off the national debt. But who could collect the money? Common fame is a common liar. Hearsay is half lies. A tale never loses in the telling. As a snowball grows by rolling, so does a story. They who talk much lie much. If men only said what was true, what a peaceable world we should see. Silence seldom makes mischief, but talking is a plague to the parish. Silence is wisdom, and by this rule, wise men and wise women are scarce. Still waters are the deepest, but the shallowest brooks brawl the most. This shows how plentiful fools must be. An open mouth shows an empty head. If the chest had gold or silver in it, it would not always stand wide open. Talking comes by nature, but it needs a good deal of training to learn to be quiet. Yet regard for truth should put a bit into every honest man's mouth and a bridle upon every good woman's tongue. If we must talk, at least let us be free from slander, but let us not blister our tongues with backbiting. Slander may be sport to talebearers, but it is death to those whom they abuse. We can commit murder with the tongue as well as with the hand. The worst evil you can do a man is to injure his character. As the Quaker said to his dog, "I'll not beat thee nor abuse thee, but I'll give thee an ill name." All are not thieves that dogs bark at, but they are generally treated as if they were. For the world, for the most part, believes that where there is smoke, there is fire, and what everybody says must be true. Let us then be careful that we do not hurt our neighbor in so tender a point as his character, for it is hard to get dirt off if it is once thrown on. And when a man is once in people's bad books, he is hardly ever quite out of them. If we would be sure not to speak amiss, it might be as well to speak as little as possible. For if all men's sins were divided into two bundles, half of them would be sins of the tongue. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Gossips of both genders, give up the shameful trade of tale-bearing. Don't be the devil's bellows any longer to blow up the fire of strife. Leave off setting people by the ears. If you do not cut a bit off your tongues, at least season them with the salt of grace. Praise God more and blame neighbors less. Any goose can cackle. Any fly can find out a sore place. Any empty barrel can give forth sound. Any briar can tear a man's flesh. No flies will go down your throat if you keep your mouth shut, and no evil speaking will come up. Think much, but say little. Be quick at word and slow to talk, and above all, ask the great Lord to set a watch over your lips.